Parshas Vayishlach, Tafshin Pei. So we'll do an overview of the Parsha, and then we'll dive into some beautiful ideas on this week's Parsha that we can really get inspired from, and already start talking about Hanukkah. And alright, and since we're really not that far away from Hanukkah, we'll touch upon Inyanei Hanukkah and see some connections in the Parsha as well. So we know in Vayishlach, Yaakov is on his way home. He left Lavan's house at the end of last week's parsha, back to Yitzchak after 20 years of being away. And he ran away from Esav. That's why he was in Canaan. That's why he left Canaan to go to Lavan. And so now Yaakov is getting ready to prepare to encounter Esav. And we know he prepares in three different ways. So he's about to encounter Esav. And Esau's coming, the messengers come and tell Yaakov, Esau's coming with 400 men to greet him. Yaakov's all scared. We know he prepares and, does his hachanos. He prepares for war. He davens. He sends gifts. And, he goes ahead and finally the encounter actually happens. Yaakov's scared. We know before the encounter happens, Yaakov brings his whole family across, Ma'abar Yavok, and then he goes back and he fights with the Malach. And it's really, the pasuk calls it an ish, but he has a war with the Sar Shel Esav, and the Sar Shel Esav gives him a good whack in his Gidon Nosha area, in his Tzalei Erecho, and really, but Yaakov beats him, and Yaakov is victorious, and Malach, the Sar, tells Sar Shel Esav, tells Yaakov, his name isn't going to be Yaakov anymore, it'll be Yisrael, Ki Sar Yisayim Elokim Vatuchal. And then Yaakov goes back. Now he has a second name, Yisrael. And he encounters Esav, and to his surprise, Esav is much more peaceful with him than he had expected. And they hug each other. Esav's surprised to see his whole family and how many kids he has, how many wives. And they depart. They go their separate ways. And basically, the Torah then tells us the Isser of the Gidon Osheh, because of the fact that the Sar Shel Esav hit Yaakov in that area, so we shouldn't eat it. And then afterwards, Yaakov arrives at the outskirts of Shechem, and he purchases a plot of land there. He makes a mizbeach for Hashem there. And then in Chamishi, it's the whole story of Dina and Shechem, where Dina ventures out into the city of Shechem, and Shechem, which is the name of the city, but also the prince of the city, goes ahead and abducts her, violates her, and kept her hostage there. And Hamor, we know, the governor of the town of Shechem, approaches Yaakov, tells him what happened, and that Shechem wants to marry his daughter Dina. And we know what happens. Shimon and Levi go ahead and come up with this plot. They give bris milah to all of the males of the city of Shechem, and on the third day, when they're very weak, they destroy the entire city and wipe them out and decimate them. Yaakov is very displeased by this. It's very clear he doesn't approve, he's not happy with it. And nevertheless, he continues on and journeys, and Yaakov gets back to Canaan, to Beis El. Hashem then appears to him and changes his name to Yisrael also, so it's not, his name changes twice in the Torah really, twice to Yisrael, once from the Sar Shel Esav, this ish that he was fighting with, and once from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And then they go to Chevron, and the Parsha concludes that while they're traveling to Chevron, Rachel, we know, is Nifteres, and passes away while giving birth to Binyamin, her second son, her and the last of the Shvatim, besides from Menashe and Ephraim. Yaakov buries her on the spot, on the roadside of leading towards Beis Lachem, and they keep traveling, and then we have the whole Maisa of Ruvain, and finally Yaakov gets to Chevron, and the Parsha concludes with Yitzchak Avinu is Nifter, and that chapter of Yitzchak's life is over, and he's buried in Maris HaMachpelah with his wife and his parents, and then the Torah goes through the descendants of Esav. So, a lot to talk about. We don't have forever to speak. So, we'll try to focus in on several ideas, really on just a couple of the psukim in the Parsha, and then try to glean ideas. So first, we'll talk about the name of the Parsha. If you look in Source 1, the Lubavitcher Rebbe had a beautiful pshat, an explanation, and in the Gutnik Chumashim, which are beautiful likutim and an organized way of all of many of his sichos and his different discussions and toros. So they put it together in English in a gorgeous way. So each parsha has the name of the parsha beforehand. So if you look in Source 1, Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, Zatzal, so he goes ahead and he says as follows. He says, Vayishlach means that he sent, which refers to the concept, a very Chabad type of concept of Shlichus, sending an emissary or representative. That's Vayishlach. In the broader sense, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, we're all Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're here in the world to do. He put our neshamos and our gufs. He lent us our entire lives. He gave us the ability to live. In order for us to carry out our mission here on earth, to perform mitzvahs of the Torah, and to influence our surroundings positively, so that the physical world becomes a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we create a place for the Shechina to rest. And we're all shluchim in that sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. We're all messengers of Hashem. Says further, more specifically, this shlichus to affect the outside world, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, can really go ahead and be divided into two different phases. First is that a person, he leaves the shul, he leaves the Beis Medrash, and he goes out, the Jew who spreads the light of Judaism into his surroundings. He goes out into the world, and he involves himself with other people, and he spreads the light of Torah to them. That's one phase. The second one is he's not satisfied with his own shlichus, the mission that he's on, which he alone is carrying out, so he endeavors to make more shluchim. So he goes ahead and has others who will also be charged with this mission and the enthusiasm to spread Torah to the rest of the world. And he says beautifully that these two phases of shlichus are really alluded to in the two parshios of Vayetze and Vayishlach. Vayetze means, and he departed. He left, he was sent out. Yaakov left his homeland on a shlichus to influence an environment which was alien to Yiddishkeit. It was a place of trickery, a place of lavan. That's Vayetze. Vayishlach though means, and he sent. Alluding to the second type of shlichus, where shliach isn't satisfied with his own ongoing achievements, and inspires instead others to be shluchim for them to go out. So, subsequently he concludes that, really the next parsha is Vayeshev, where finally he settled, and Yaakov wanted to settle in peace, because Yaakov Ashes B'Shalva, as Rashi quotes, alluding to the peaceful harmony of the true and complete redemption. So these parshios are really merames to us, our avodos in this world as well. It's not just stories about Yaakov Avinu and details of what happened in his life. Of course, we're supposed to learn about them and learn the Torah there, but the message is for each and every one of us that we're shluchim of that Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we need to go out and be his messengers in this world in whichever way is best for us, whether it's to go out personally, to help mentor others to be him. That's what we can learn from Vayetze and Vayishlach, the first opening idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So if we look in Source 2, diving into the Psukim, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Elisav Achiv Artzah Seir Sedeyad. Yaakov sends Malachim before him to Esav, his brother, and to the land of Seir in the field of Edom. So we're going to focus on this Pasuk for a while, but let's first, before we get into some of the more classic commentaries, look at an idea in source number 3 by Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, a beautiful idea that we can glean from here. He says, for years Esav hated Yaakov Avinu. There was tension, hatred, mamish, he wanted to kill him. He didn't just hate him. It's one thing to hate someone, you want to avoid them. He hated him, he wanted to murder him. Esav harbored hatred to Yaakov because of the brachos that he stole. So in an effort to appease Esav, Yaakov sent messengers with gifts for him. And the messengers reported that what? The gifts didn't really change Esav's attitude. The gifts did nothing. He sends these doron, and what do? Mamish, they don't help. They go ahead, and Esav still has 400 men marching towards him. It's related, actually, and here's another Chabad, type of source and an idea. It's related that there was actually a falling out between Rosh Ner Zalman, the author of the Tanya, and Rav Baruch of Mezhbish, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And there were various attempts by intermediaries to go ahead and bring a reconciliation between them, but it failed. Then a Mechama, the Mamish, they didn't get along for a very long period of time. Rav Baruch Mezhbish said, the Torah tells us that even Malachim, angelic intermediaries, these Malachim that Yaakov Avinu sent, they couldn't diffuse Esav's anger towards him. They couldn't appease Esav with the Doron. It was only when, what happened? The two of them met face to face. They met personally. They had that connection, that chibur, that kesher, where they went ahead and it wasn't through shluchim, that they were able to go ahead and the two opponents can then work out their differences. So sometimes Rabbi Jay Tversky says, he quotes a beautiful idea from Abraham Lincoln, a quote, I don't like that man, Abraham Lincoln used to once said, I don't like that man very much, I should get to know him better. It's a beautiful idea that sometimes we think we don't like people, we don't know them. How can we not like them? If we go ahead though, the message here is really powerful, especially for today's day and age. With all the technology, with us constantly being on our messages and texting and a WhatsApp, if you have a WhatsApp all day, Yoman Valayla, and the last scene, it's like statuses and this and that, and the Instagram and the Twitter and emails. Sometimes when we don't get along with somebody, it's easier to go ahead and send a message, to apologize if it's something you know you did wrong to them, or to try to make shalom. But we learn, Rabbi Tversky says, from the encounter between Yaakov and Esav, the only thing that worked, Malachim didn't help, sending gifts. It was the face-to-face encounter. It was that connection between two human beings, seeing each other, being together, hugging each other, embracing one another. It's not always going to work, probably, to reconcile differences between two people, but the power of seeing a person and interacting with them in person, as opposed to through messengers, which nowadays would probably not be a person, but would be our cell phones or the internet, is great, is wondrous, and it can mamish accomplish so much more and actually be successful, as opposed to just doing it through some type of shaliach. It's harder, but it can achieve the results we want. So that's what we can learn from the encounter between Yaakov and Esav. Beautiful idea, Rabbi Tversky. So if we look in Source 4, this is a hakdama, the Ramban, really, in this week's parsha. It's pretty incredible, and it's really rooted in a medrash. But the Ramban says as follows, Nichtava in Source 4, HaParsha Azos, Lahodia. He says, why was this parsha written? You want to know why this parsha of Vayishlach and this encounter with Esav and Yaakov Avinu getting ready with the gifts and preparing his melchama and separating the camps and going ahead and davening? You want to know why the Torah tells us this? Why the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us all this? A couple of reasons. The idea to inform us, Ki Hitzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Isavda V'Golam Yad Chazak Mimeno. First of all, to tell us, Vayishlach Malach V'Yatzilehu. First of all, to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Yaakov Avinu because he was his Avdo. He was a faithful servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Torah is telling us this story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and saved Yaakov from what didn't make sense. Esav came with 400 soldiers, and Yaakov Avinu was a guy who worked in the field. Maybe he gained some muscles over the time with Lavan, so he was a little stronger than beforehand. But he's an ish tam yoshev olam. But still, Yaakov Avinu was misgaber. He was gol miyad chazak mimenu. And later on, in Sefer Bereishis, this malach, the Vayetzileh, Yaakov attributes the fact that a malach always protected him. I think that's what the Ramban's alluding to here. Second, ulamdenu od, shehu lo batach b'tzidkasa v'shtada b'hatzela v'chol yacholta. This is a big yisod in life. That Yaakov Avinu, it's to teach us that he wasn't batuach in his tzidkas. He's Yaakov Avinu. As Rashi says soon, we're going to see, im lovan garti v'tayag mitzvah shamarti. He was mekayim all the mitzvahs with lovan. Yet, he wasn't confident that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to go ahead and save him just because of that. He didn't go ahead and rely on that. Lo batach b'tzidkaso. So what did he do? Hishtadl b'atzlacha v'chol yecholta. He went ahead, he still had to put all of his hishtadlus in. He had to prepare in every single way possible. Part of that was tefillah. But part of it was mamash hishtadlus, to prepare for war, to separate the camps, and to go ahead and appease Esav and try to get him to calm down with gifts, and a lot of gifts, a lot of wealth to send him, and every details in the Torah, what the gifts were. It's a huge lesson to teach us that even if we need to put in our hishtadlus, Yaakov Avinu needed to put in hishtadlus. That's what Yaakov Avinu had to do. He didn't rely on, oh, Hashem's gonna save me, there's gonna be bitachon, it's all good, it's all... Hishtadlus Yaakov Avinu is teaching us right here. And third, V'yesh ba'od remez l'doros, ki kol asher yir la'avinu im Esav, achiv yir lanu tamid im b'nei Esav. Third is that Torah is teaching us everything that happened with Esav, and this could possibly be the most powerful lesson, according to the Ramban, I think, in my opinion, is really like Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, is really alluding to the fact that this wasn't just a one-time incident with Yaakov and Esav. This was the message for all future generations, for Klal Yisrael and the B'nai Esav. For Klal Yisrael and those descendants, those enemies that Klal Yisrael have. V'roi lanu la'achos b'darkol shel tzadik. And it's fitting for us to go ahead and to grab on, to hold on to the way of the tzadik, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is teaching us a recipe. He's teaching us how to deal with those who want to get rid of us. Those who hate us. Those who want to destroy us. The Irans of the world today. Those who want to wipe us off the face of the map and say it openly and publicly and aren't ashamed or scared at all to say it. Yaakov Avinu is teaching us a lesson for all future generations and every generation. That's for our generation. But think about all the generations between us and Yaakov Avinu. How do you deal with them? L'tfilu l'dor no hatzala baderech milchama. L'vroch l'inatza. K'varo rabbeseinu haremes hazeh min haparsha azos kasher asker. As Yaakov Avinu prepared with tefillah and presence and with his preparing for war, that's so too, that's how we go ahead and need to use that as our model to really deal with our enemies. So we're not in, I don't think we are, each of us, in the positions of power to make these big decisions how to deal with them. Obviously, Shem Davin, but had diplomatic relationships between those who don't, you know, who hate the Jews and want to get rid of us. We don't have that authority, but it's really the lessons for them. And if you look in source number 5, this is a source from the, actually, Chabad.org. Mamish. Yeah, it's because you're here. It's tonight's a Chashir and Chabad, and then Chassidus a little bit. You know, a little Chabad, a lot of Chabad Torah. It's a story, a story about Menachem Begin. Once when I heard the story the first time, I was like, I fell out of my seat almost. If you've heard it, then it's not as exciting. It's always nice to hear Chazara. But if you never heard this before, it's remarkable. So on July 17, 1977, Menachem Begin was the prime minister, and he was preparing for a critical meeting with the president of Egypt at the time, President Sadat, and Carter. He was meeting with Jimmy Carter as well. And on it, before that meeting, he made a stop. He stopped over in New York on the way to Washington, D.C. And he met individually with three of the great Rabbanim of the generation. Who? Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitcher. All three rabbis gave him the same advice. He wanted advice. How do I deal with Sadat? What do I say? What's the best way to handle this? How do I communicate? What do I communicate? All three rabbanim gave him the same advice. Before you go ahead and have this fateful meeting, review Parshas Vayishlach. Go through the encounter between Yaakov and Esau. That's how you're going to deal with it. That's the model. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us as the eights, how to deal with the rest of the world. So powerful, so enlightening. It's mamish, a message for all times. And it's really from a medrash that...
Did you listen?
I don't know, it's a good question. Did Menachem Begin go ahead and learn the parshas? The story ended there, so it's... Tzarchian. But this is really what the Ramban's telling us. It's not just a biblical story. This story, this parsha of the encounter between Yaakov and Esau contains within it really a nevuah and a program for future diplomatic, political, and even geopolitical encounters that should be heeded throughout the long years of the Gullus. And I think there's a chazal, I believe, that says that Esav Sonya Yas Yaakov Halachahi. Might be the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm not sure, but I think so. I forgot to look it up beforehand. I once heard this at a Levaya, actually, in Eretz Yisrael, that I was at after a terrorist attack. And I attended the Levaya of the people who were killed. It was, and the idea that was said over at the Levaya, so why does it say halacha? He Esav son Esav Yaakov. Halacha? That's for the Shulchan Aruch. That's for the tour. What's that to do with halacha? A halacha is something that is binding and will never change. Something that will be forever. Until Mashiach comes. Esav son Esav Yaakov halacha he. Where the Tana is that made that statement, I think it was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. He was saying it to teach us, Mamish, it was a nevuah then too. It's never going to change. We could do whatever we want to go ahead and try to get along with the non-Jews that don't like us and want to and try to make peace with the Arabs and do this and that. If they want to kill us and the Mamish son of Israel, it's not going to happen. It's a halacha. Halacha hi l'dari daros. That's why it's a halacha. So that's a beautiful Ramban. Mamish, something to chazer over. And b'derech hakdama really to the parsha. So moving on to source number 6. So Rashi says on the first pasuk, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Malachim, Mamish. Mamish Malachim. It's like, you know, we use Mamish. It's a catchy word. When I was growing up, or, you know, when I was in yeshiva, it's Mamish. It's Mamish like this. So Rashi actually says, Mamish. It's Mamish Malachim. They were real angels. But if you look in source 7, not so pashut, the Medrash Rabbah tells us, Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Hayin Hey, Malachim Elu Shluchei Basar Vadam. Rabbanan Amri Malachim Mamish. That's Machloikis. It's a debate. Some say it was really malachim. Others say, no, it was actually human beings. It was messengers. It was shluchim. People were sent. Medrash has a machloikis. So if you look in Rav Moshe Feinstein's Sefer on Chumash Darsh Moshe on source number 8, he has such an amazing piece that connects to Hanukkah in such in an incredible way that I think is something I need to think about every day, at least once a day, more. Says Rav Moshe, we'll start with his questions. The beginning of source number 8. Hine b'malachim sheshalach Yaakov yesh tre lishnei chad malachim mamish v'chad shluchim. He quotes the Medrash. There are two lishonos by these malachim. One is that they were real angels, and one is that they were messengers and people. Ulechor tzmua. Eich yishlach malachim mamish shehu davar nisi ba'eish sheyachal lishlach shluchim pshutim b'lones. So Moshe says, how could it be that Yaakov Avinu sent these malachim as angels when he could have just sent messengers? He didn't need angels to be sent. Messengers would have done the job. They would have seen what was going on with Esav and reported back to Yaakov. This wasn't a miraculous event that, you know, you needed angel-like celestial beings to come into play here. We just didn't need them to intercede. Right. They weren't necessary. So when you don't need an ace, we don't have Nisim, right? It's you just use people. The Hachas of Shalom Menachem is Zechuyosav, and more it goes ahead and takes away from his Zechuyos. Vavleman Damer Shluchim Tmuah Ktas says, if you want to tell me it was actually people, my Tamalaka. My time anaka b'losha malachim. Why does the Torah start? Vayishlach Yaakov malachim. Right? I think malachim's winning here. The Torah uses the loshan malachim. So Moshe says, if you want to say it's malachim, then why was it? And malachim mamish, why was this miracle of angels necessary? And if you want to say that it was people, why does the Torah say malachim? So that's maybe what the Midrashim were arguing about also. It could be this Moshe, you know, was this Shnei Tzadim. So Moshe explains as follows. Fascinating idea. About 7 or 8 lines down. V'hanachon. V'hanachon lani es daiti. Da sholem bi yoser, ein lo hispalus menes yoser me'ateva hakavu. The real sholem person isn't misspoiled, isn't amazed or in awe and looks in an incredible way at a nes more than teva itself. Da hakevan shigam hateva hakavua yadua. Yadua shehu niver me'abore yesh me'ayin, because since, if you think about it, teva itself, nature itself, everything we have, the Ribbono Shel Olam created something from nothing to get there. It itself is a miracle, right? Vaday ein lecha nes gadol yoser mizeh. There's no greater miracle than the fact that there was a creation and that a human being was created, that the world was created, that the grass is there, the trees are there, that we breathe, that we have ears, eyes, nose. All of these are incredible creations of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yesh me'ayin. V'im ken kvar yadua lo she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachol lasos b'chol eiz ma she'roitze. Person, if he really is a Baal Emuna, he knows that Ribbono Shel Olam can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. U'mam b'ze'af k'shol yershum nes kol yemei chayev. And he believes in that, even if he doesn't see a miraculous event of what he would consider to be in something l'malam min ha'teva, the Kriyas Yamsuf, for some incredible miracle that would, a human being flying in space, or flying in the sky without an airplane, but just mamish, like, he's walking and all of a sudden he starts flying and people see it and like, whoa, that's a miracle. Person doesn't need to see that. They don't need to go ahead and have that kind of nes happen his entire life. V'dim to Adarabi, he says the Adarabi, Shem Ispal Mines Yoser, who ktas katnasim. Person who goes ahead and who's misboil and is so excited, and in awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because he create such a great miracle, it's mekatnas in his emuna, because then only that's a miracle to him, but he doesn't really believe in all the miracles that we have every single day of the teva of life that the Ribbono Shel Olam created. Okay. Just skip down. Let's go to the right side. This is the whole piece from Ramosha, but it's a little lengthy. He quotes a lot of Gemaras and brings Rayas. And then at the end, he says about 5 lines up. V'lachin liYaakov shahaya shavelo mamish nes v'teva. To Yaakov Avinu, he was on this level of tzidkus, where teva and nes were the same thing. Lo ichpas lo lishloach gam malachim. It didn't matter to him to send malachim. V'af loshin shayishluchim naka loshin malachim l'har shein mamish shavah eslo. And the reason that the Torah uses Lashem Malachim, angels, is to teach us that to Yaakov Aminu, he's the one sending them, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, he was on this level to teach us, and we can learn from it, that Malachim, Anashim, men being alive and going on a journey that Yaakov Aminu would send them to be messengers, and then coming back with the information, would be just as great of a miracle as Malachim to Yaakov Aminu. They're one, they're the same thing. The Zel Bzach, as we'd say, to Yaakov Aminu. And this really is an incredible idea, because when you think about it, what is a miracle? Mamish, the fact that we breathe, the fact that I woke up this morning, the fact that I'm here right now, that we're all here together in this room learning Torah,
is a miracle.
Is a miracle. It really is. And we need to have that lens, those eyes, like Yaakov Avinu had, to see the Malachim, Anashim. It's all a miracle. It's all from the Ribono Shel Olam. You know, Hateva and Gematria is Elokim. Hashem is the one that created everything in the world. Everything we have is a miracle from the Ribono Shel Olam. If you look in source number 9, and this connects to Hanukkah, so Rabbi David Aaron, in a book Inviting God In, writes as follows, and it's beautiful. What does the world look like in the light of miracles? He says, the world looks like a miracle. In the light of nature, nothing is new, but in the light of miracles, everything is always miraculously novel. When I point the light of science at my hand, I see cells, I see veins. When I point the light of art at my hand, I see form, I see shape, and I see color. But when I point the light of Hanukkah at my hand, I see a miracle. We fill our eyes with the light of Hanukkah for 8 days so that when the holiday is over, we see that everything is a miracle. We see that even nature is really a miracle. And each time we look in this light at our hands, nose, toes, trees, birds, bees, and so on, we are amazed because it is all so new and wondrous. And he quotes a beautiful idea. Tonight we have Chabad going on, we have Abraham Lincoln, and now we have Albert Einstein, who was a Yid. Albert Einstein was a Yid, you say. Probably his great-grandparents were tremendous Rosh Yeshivas, I'm sure, because I don't know where he got his godless and brilliance, you know, from. He said, Albert Einstein once said, there are two ways of looking at the world. This is a phenomenal quote. Either you see nothing as a miracle, or you see everything as a miracle. Judaism sees everything as a miracle. Hellenism, what we fought in the time of Hanukkah, saw nothing as a miracle. To the Greeks, a miracle was an absurdity. To them, only what was reasonable, logical, and rational could be real. Miracles were illogical and therefore not possible. The Greeks could never access the light of Hanukkah, the light of miracles, because they only believed in the light of logic of reason. A beautiful connection to Hanukkah. Mamish, that's what Hanukkah is all about. And there's a sefer I have here by Rav Karlenstein of Hanukkah also. We know the famous Kasha, the Beis Yosef. Why is there 8 days of Hanukkah instead of seven? A miracle is only 7 days. What was the first day? What was the first day? It wasn't a miracle. The light was supposed to last one day. So there's 100, 500 tevritzim. There's a lot of answers to this question. But a beautiful idea here brought down by Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm is the following. Shetiknu lanu chazal lahadlik neres Chanukah gam biyom harishon kedei lilmod osanu she'af hateva kulo nes. Hateva begamachi elokim v'lachin af amal shenir lanu keteva tzarech lahadlik. Says, what's Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm's answer? The first night of Chanukah, we're celebrating nature. We're celebrating the fact that when you light a candle, you take a wick and you take oil and light a match and touch it, there's a fire. That is a miracle. That itself is something to celebrate. And that's what the first night is, according to Rav Simcha Zissel account. It's a beautiful idea and really a powerful idea to just appreciate every second we have as a miracle from the Ribono Shel Olam, as a nes nigla. And it's Yaakov Avinu was on that level. He saw everything. The Malachim, there are people are Malachim because the people, them being there and being able to act as messengers was Mamish Shanes itself. He didn't need to be misspelled from anything more than that. It's a beautiful idea from Rav Moshe, connecting it to Hanukkah, Rav David Aaron, and to Rav Karlenstein as well, to an answer to the Kasher from Beis Yosef. Source number 10 is a Kli Yakar. So we know that Yaakov Avinu says, "Im lovan garti." He says, "No." Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim lefanav v'lei savachiv artzal tzirik sedei adom. Rashi quotes that garti lo nasisi sar v'chashev elager. Says Rashi, "I didn't become anything important there. I was a stranger the whole time to the house of Lavan. Don't think I'm chashev now. Don't think anything of me. I'm still a ger. I'm still a stranger, a wanderer. Don't hate me because of the brachos that Yitzchak Avinu gave me instead of you, that you know I that I took from you, that you think I stole from you. To be strong, yeah, you know, be a gvir lachecha, because it's not true. Share lon is kaimabi. The brachos didn't happen. I'm just a ger. I'm not a sar. I'm not a chosh. I'm not chosh of nothing. Rashi quotes in Davar Acher, Garti b'gematria taya klomar imlovim harasha garti v'targimis shamarti v'lo lamadati mimas avarayim. Rashi quotes another pshat, Davar Acher, that I lived with Lavan for all these years, I kept all the mitzvahs, and I didn't learn from his bad ways. Garti, same letters as Taryag, 613, and Gematria, 613 mitzvahs, a remez, a hint to that. So one small idea, short idea, I should say, not small, short idea, is if you look at the end, Rashi adds on, it's not just, everyone quotes, Yim Lavan Garti v'tayag mitzvah shamarti. Rashi adds on four words, V'lo lamadati mimas av haroim. What's Rashi teaching us? So I once heard what Rashi's teaching us here is that a person can mamish keep the entire Taryag mitzvos and still be ra. He could still go ahead and have ways that are evil. He could still act in a way that's not Taryadik if he learns it superficially, if he learns it cerebrally, if he doesn't impact the way he acts based upon his Taryag mitzvos and based upon his Torah learning. Then he could still be mamish, like lolamadat simi masim rayim. He could still have maisim rayim that he acts and does, and that's what Rashi's adding. Rashi's saying Yaakov's telling Esav, I didn't just keep the mitzvahs. I kept the mitzvahs. Yeah, I it's amazing. It's an incredible level. But I also wasn't impacted by the environment of Lavan at all. I didn't learn from his negative, trickery, terrible ways. And those aren't the same thing. They're two different things. Person who learns Torah in an emistic and a truth way, then it will transform the person. It'll have midos tovos. But it's a beautiful diak in Rashi. Yaakov Avinu also had to add, I didn't learn from Lavan's negative ways almost to differentiate between the Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. But if you look at the Kli Yakar in source number 10, says the Kli Yakar, we'll say the Kash outside, he says it seems that these two Perushim are soiser one another. They contradict one another. Why? On the one hand, Yaakov Avinu is telling Esav, I didn't become important, I'm not a sar, I'm not chashuv, the brachos of our father didn't come true, don't worry, don't be scared of me, I'm still nothing. On the other hand, he's saying, but I kept all those mitzvahs by Lavan. I didn't learn from his bad ways, I'm still a good Jew, I'm a great Jew. They seem to be two conflicting messages. On the one hand, very all about subjugating himself to Esav, all about, I'm lower than you, I'm less than you, I'm not a Sarva Chashev, don't worry. And on the other hand, I kept all the mitzvahs. So, kind of not being Gaivadik, but a positive thing. Why do you have to tell him that? What are these two ideas that are seemingly conflicting teaching us? So he says as follows. Kli Yakar says, and he really asks it because Rashi says, Davar Acher. Which means that it's really two different pshatim. He says two different pshatim are soser one another, which isn't a bad thing. Could have two different pshatim that are just two different pshatim that don't work out together. But he tries to reconcile the two. And he says the following. Akein li b'yomer in source number 10, sheshnei pirushim elu mar shneim kecha emes. They're really one idea of emes. Lo kamo sheperush Rashi davar acher. Not like Rashi says davar acher. Mashma shekol echad perush b'fnei atzmo, which is mashma that each one's an independent idea. Says no, these two ideas are the same. V'zeh beir inyan sheYaakov shalach lomar im lavan garti lo nasisi sarva chashev el ger. Yaakov Avinu sent the message that I lived with Lavan, I didn't become anything important. I'm just I'm still a stranger, a traveler. Lo mar lo shabrachos lo neskaimabo, as Rashi says. V'lo bal ha'achish es aviv lasos berchosav plaster chalila ela kach ama kishivarich osi avi hayasavar she'ani esav aldas zeh berchani. He wasn't saying that my father's brachos didn't come true, chas v'shalom, and the brachos didn't work. He was saying my father, Yitzchak Esav, thought he was giving a bracha to Esav. He thought it was you that he was giving the bracha to when he was giving the brachos. So they didn't work for me. Nothing happened from those brachos for me. I'm not a sar v'chashuv. I'm not heavy gvir l'achecho. Elakach amar kishmarach osi avi, he thought he was giving the bracha to Esav, v'haramos asher asisi lo ho'ilali, and this trickery that I did to you, don't be upset at me. Don't be angry with me anymore because it resulted in nothing. I am nothing. I'm a sar. I'm not a sar. I'm not chashuv. I'm still a ger. The brachos, I tried to trick you. The trick, Hashem knows, it didn't work. It didn't work to trick you. So he says as follows. What's the proof that the brachos didn't work? Because I'm still a ger. I'm not sar v'chashuv. And if you want to say no, really, the brachos are miskaimbi. And you want to tell me, Esav, oh yeah, I know why the brachos didn't work. Not because the trickery didn't work, but because you weren't shomer Torah mitzvos properly. I was. Tayig mitzvos shamarti. I kept all the mitzvos. I followed in the Ribono Shel Olam's way and did everything I was supposed to do. L'lamadati mimaisa haroim. And the brachos still didn't come through. So what does that mean? The remos didn't work. The trickery didn't work. And that's how those two messages, which seemed on the surface to be conflicting, are really one and the same. Yaakov Inu was telling him, I didn't become a sar v'chashuv, and I kept the mitzvos. So really, the brachos didn't help me at all. Don't be jealous. Don't be angry with me. Let's make peace. And he tried to appease him with these messages. If we look in source number 11, we know Yaakov, he's scared. So Yaakov is very scared. Two Lashonos are scared. He was Vayira, he was frightened, and Vayetzelo, he was also in distress. He was distressed, and he divided his people with him and the flocks, the cattle, and camels into two camps. That was his hachana for the milchama. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi picks up on what's Vayira and Vayetzer. Why the two Lashonos of being scared? Rashi says, so Vayira is maybe he'll be killed. And Vayetzer, that he was in distress because maybe he'd have to kill others, right? If Esav's going to try to kill him, you know, you have to take care of yourself and protect yourself. He might end up killing Esav. So those were the two fears. I might be killed. I might kill someone else. If you look in the Das Zakenim and the Targum Yonasan sources 13 and 14, they have a different shot. They explain the Das Zakenim from the Bali Tosfa says, Yari hayosh yoyel Esav zechus shekibur avayim. He was scared that Esav had the zechus of kibud avayim, which he didn't have. Yes, he listened to his parents to run away to Lavan. But as we discussed last week also, Yosef was nevad from him because of the time, during the time that he was away. So there was something lacking there, something that was wrong. Maybe he stayed longer than he should have, and he was only sent to just get married and come back. Don't even stay for Shev Brachos. Just take Rachel and Leah, run away, whatever was supposed to happen. And he stayed much longer than he should. But Esav this whole time, we know Chazal tell us in many places that Esav was mechabit his parents and had in the most amazing ways, was a model in that. So Esav had that zechus. And the Targum Yonasan says the same idea, but he actually says shnin b'yikara de'avoy. He only says his father. And it could be the difference between father and mother and father was based upon the tzivuyim at the end of Parshas told us to run away to base Lavan, if you look at what Rivka and Yitzchak tell him. But what do you see from here? So if you look in source number 15, the Yetirei Torah quotes from Rav Shmuel Moliver, who was lived from 1824 to 1898. He was a Rav Volozhin, and he studied Volozhin. He was a Rav in Bialystok. He was a religious Zionist. And he explains that you see from here the power of the mitzvah of really, he talks about, of Eretz Yisrael, and other Mefarshim explain Kibud Avim as well. Because what was the other mitzvah that Esav kept? He was in Eretz Yisrael the whole time. Yaakov Avinu was out of Eretz Yisrael. He was by Lavan. So you see the zechuyos, how important the Yetirei Torah focuses here on the power of the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, of living in Eretz Yisrael, that shkula keneged kol mitzvos. Because Yaakov Avinu had a fear, he was kind of all tayrig mitzvos, tayrig mitzvah shamarti, but Esav was only mekayim these two mitzvos of kibud avayim and Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, maybe more, but not that we know of. And Yaakov was in fear. So you see the power and the levels and the godless of these mitzvahs, of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. And even though we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, but supporting Eretz Yisrael, davening for Eretz Yisrael, visiting Eretz Yisrael if we can, sending money to tzedakahs in Eretz Yisrael, that's all different ways that we go ahead and can really be connected to Eretz Yisrael even without being there. And Yaakov, you know, had that fear that he didn't have that connection the whole time while he was with Lavan. And Esav did. And Kibud Avayim, you see there's a chus there too. Those of us who are zochah to have parents, so to go ahead and be mechabed them is an incredible, special, and powerful mitzvah that Yaakov was scared of, that Esav had. And those of us that our parents are no longer in the world, so we could still speak about them, we could still talk about them, learn lessons from them, follow in their ways, and all these other wonderful means and special ways of being mechabed them in this world. So that's a lesson that we really learn from the Das Zakenim and the Targum Yonasan on what Yaakov Avinu was scared of. Not like Rashi, that he was scared he was going to be killed or he's scared he was going to have to kill, but he was scared of the zechuyos, the mitzvos that Esav had that he didn't have. That he was in fear of those. So shkoyach everyone on coming, and everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.